Hello and welcome back to But Where Are You From, a podcast by Be Seen, Britain's East and Southeast Asian network. I am your host, Viv Yao, and with me are...
Manny!
It's Manny!
Woo!
Woo! Before we get started, please can everyone donate to our Ko-fi link. That's ko-fi.com/beseen, because we do this all for free in our own time. I'm very stressed.
Yes, you are.
Can you sense the stressness?
I can.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, it's not your fault. It happens.
It's because I can't get the bloody audio to work, and in my head I had a whole grand plan of using two different audio mics and plugging it into GarageBand, but it just didn't work.
Yeah, and then we were going to film each other like across the room, put it on YouTube,
yeah,
and then sell it and get like a show together.
I just don't get why technology doesn't work for me, but oh well. Anyway, we are here to essentially recap 2 years later from when you first came on the podcast in July 2021. And at that point, we had been dating for only 3 months. Oh, for people who don't know, Manny is my boyfriend.
Yes, I am.
Yes, and we have been together for 2 years.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. So we listened to the podcast yesterday as a bit of a recap.
Part of it, yeah.
Oh yeah, we didn't finish it, did we actually?
No, we didn't.
But so much has changed.
Yes, it has.
I actually can't believe it. The thing that stood out to me the most is that I hadn't farted in front of you yet.
Yes, and that has definitely changed.
Yes, that has changed quite dramatically. I think that would be the biggest change in our life so far.
I think so, yeah. Nothing else of importance has really happened apart from that.
Apart from I fart very, very openly and generously, would you say?
Yes, I would say that.
So that didn't last very long, did it?
Not really, no.
But I guess the theme of this episode is for us to really kind of delve into talking about our relationship from the perspectives of being, you're black.
Yes, I
am. I'm Chinese.
Yes, you are.
And I wanted to essentially go back to some of the questions that we originally asked one another about being in an interracial relationship, because I think we were slightly naive.
We probably were, but... you know, what happens, happens.
I think we were naive, but also going into it with a lot of positivity and respect for one another, which...
yeah. I think we were... I don't know, we probably were naive, and I don't see that as a bad thing, but... like, stuff has, like, happened, of course, mm-hmm. but I think we've been able to figure it out, so...
yeah.
On most things.
I think we have been able to... work through it.
Yeah.
Should we start off by, I guess, just sharing some thoughts, like stories of what's happened?
Yeah, sure.
That we can remember, because I think the main things that have popped out is that we have experienced racism either towards one another.
Yes.
Or even to each other, which has been really hard.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
I don't know what
you mean.
As in,
we've said
by...
things where we're like, oh, crap, that's my racism showing.
Yeah.
So I think one moment that really stood out to me was like Christmas time.
Yeah.
And we went to, in December time, we went to a Christmas party.
Yes.
Feels like you don't know where I'm going with this.
I think I do now, yeah.
Yeah. And like, there was... kind of before that, for a bit of context, there's quite a lot of little comments that have been made by... it's usually friends and family, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not really the public, which I think we expected it more so from like people on the street to
something. I think we like initially thought like, oh, someone's going to come up to us on the street and be like, ah, you shouldn't be dating or something like that, which is just completely ridiculous and like... people are living their own lives.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has been more friends and family than like anything else. Yeah. Because, yeah, why would someone just randomly come up to you on the street?
And go, I don't approve of you two.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine, I would go feral on them.
Yes, you would. You've got a lot of anger inside of you. It's scary.
Yeah, it is quite scary, actually. I need to see someone about that.
Yes.
But yeah, I think I have been initially, when we first started dating, more hypervigilant about the public. But then, like, people we don't know.
Yeah.
And then, I guess, over the span of 2 years, so much has happened. All these little tiny moments that have really kind of compounded it all came to a head for me in December. When I was just like, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Because up until that point, we just had like family members mention things about your hair.
Yeah.
Or making that kind of really damaging stereotypical jokes about black men.
Yeah.
We've had people talk about Chinese people. Like, we went to a comedy show and then some comedian was mocking the way that Chinese takeaway workers speak.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it was when we were at a Christmas party and someone essentially said the N-word during a song.
Yeah.
A Tiny Temper rap.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, everyone was singing karaoke. And then two people came up and started singing Tiny Temper. I think it was Miami to Ibiza.
Was it?
Shout out to that song. Apparently. And then, so there's a bit during it where Tiny Temper says the N-word, and I don't know, it was getting up to that bit, and I like fully expected no one to say it, and one of the people singing the song didn't say it, and that's what I noticed at the time. So I was like, oh, they didn't say it. But then the other person did say it. I didn't hear that person say it,
mm-hmm.
because I was like, oh, the other person didn't say it, so surely they wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, it was probably quite loud anyway, so I just didn't hear it.
Yeah.
But quite a lot of other people heard it.
Mm.
You heard it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then you told me what had happened. Mm. And then I don't know, it was probably like 5 minutes later or something like that. I went up to that person and said, oh, like, I don't appreciate you saying that word. Like, you shouldn't be saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to say it. And they were like, I think they like agreed with me, but I don't know. It was a party. I couldn't really get the tone of like, like what she took away from it, I guess.
Yeah.
I think she apologized at the time. But yeah, I mean, before I even like approached her, I was like, should I do it or not? Because obviously it's like a friend at a Christmas party.
Yeah.
But then shout out to my boy Wei at work. Mm. Like in that moment, I was like, oh, what would Wei do?
Mm.
He wouldn't let this slide.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, I just went up to her and, yeah, and said that.
Mm. And can you talk a bit about how you felt? Like, did you feel your heart racing? Like, were you scared to say something? Because I would have been petrified.
I think initially I was. Like, before I went up and said something, I was. And then I was like, oh, just do it.
Mm.
And then I don't know how I opened the conversation. I was just like, I don't know, hey, how's it going?
Mm.
And then was like, oh, you said this during that song.
Mm.
And I think after that, I was like, just normal. Mm. But then it felt like a bit awkward afterwards, because I don't know. I said it, and then she apologized, and then it was like, I don't know, a bit of like small talk afterwards.
Oh, I remember so
and
well.
I was like, okay.
Mm.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, because I told you and I didn't expect for you to actually go up to that person. But I was watching like a hawk.
Yeah.
I was like pretending I was doing something nearby, but I was like listening.
I did notice you and someone else like standing watching, yeah, basically.
Yeah, we were trying to see how it would transpire. I was ready to jump in. I had, yeah, my claws out, but it was fine. I think the thing, yes, you felt the awkwardness in the room. And, yeah, it was just so cringe because you said, oh, you know, you sang that Tiny Temper song. And I think they thought that you were going to compliment them on their rapping skills, which, yeah, just makes me cringe so much. But, yeah, I think that that person learned a lot from that experience because they're probably used to being in white dominated spaces where they've been so used to saying the N-word and not suffering any consequences.
Yeah, and I would say as well that one of her friends spoke to her afterwards as well and was like giving, I don't know, a bit of like extra context, I guess, and some, like, I don't know what she like sent her, like, reading material or, like, podcasts to listen to. I don't know. But, yeah, that probably, like, helped as well, I assume.
Having someone there to notice it and also just kind of do the accountability work.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was what people don't know about that incident afterwards, because I think we've told a lot of our close friends what's happened.
Yeah.
And kind of how we felt about it. I think one thing that was really difficult was we were talking about it so much afterwards because there was just so much to unpack after that, wasn't there? And we were on the train journey talking about it. We eventually went, you went home and I went home. And then that night on a Sunday when we got back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I just rang you crying and started having essentially a panic attack. Being like, I just can't take this anymore. I feel so at despair. And that was really low because I felt just like floods of tears. And I was like crying the next day. And like,
yeah,
I couldn't. It impacted me because I was just like, we will never find a safe space for both of us, with you being black, me being Chinese.
Yeah.
And we've had people say things, you looking for a tissue? I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm tearing up, by the way, for any listeners. He's looking at me like, where's a tissue? And we just felt like, I felt like there wasn't a space where we feel 100% safe, and that will be our reality forever. For as long as we're together.
I don't know, at the time, like, I probably still don't have like an answer for it, to be honest, but it was just like we probably talked for about like 2-3 hours that evening about it, and like, yeah, I don't know, the fear of like never being in like a safe space, I guess. But yeah, I don't have an answer for like anyone who's like going through the same thing and thinking.
I don't think there will be a one solution or answer. And I think one thing that we did talk about though was just how, what I really draw inspiration from when we had that discussion, we acknowledged that obviously it's so shit, it's just rubbish.
Yeah.
But then you are such a patient and forgiving person and you have so much grace for people. Whereas, like, I really struggle to kind of move past that with interactions that I have. I just cower away and I don't tend to address it. And I have done in the past and it's caused me a lot of harm to address it with people close to me.
Yeah.
And you are able to kind of, like, really give them the space to just, you know, the forgiveness. You're so forgiveful.
I don't know. Probably part of that is like the way I was raised, but I also understand like from your perspective, because you have had it like where you have tried to like confront someone about it and it's turned out like so badly, and that, like, I understand why there's a fear of not wanting to like confront or like to like just cut someone off and like cower away, but like just be like,
just retreat from it.
But yeah, I don't know, like, maybe I just am a bit more of a forgiving person, but I feel like I've started like calling people out more. and I'll probably just keep referencing like Way during this podcast, but like in converse, by the way, for context, Way is a like senior manager at my work who we have like a weekly meeting with talking about like ED&I stuff. But yeah, one of the bits of advice that he gave me was just like, if you can't confront someone about it, or if you do confront someone about it and they react like negatively, then they're probably not your friend. So if you can't do that, you might as well cut them off. But if you can and they like accept it, I guess, or like they try to do some work on it, then I don't know, in my head, like, why not forgive them and try to move on, I guess.
I guess there's a lot at stake, you know, there's many dynamics, like say if it's your manager at work or someone with a position of authority or like someone really close to you, like I've had that experience where they were like a family member or family members as well. And you kind of have to weigh up whether it's going to, if the impact is worth you saying something, which sadly for so many people it's just not, and then you just kind of have to like brush it away.
It is all very like situational, like but it's like, not like you can apply the same logic to everything. Like a family member.
But yeah, I think that was kind of like a low point. And listening back to the podcast where we were like, have we experienced anything? Not really. We were so naive.
Yes, we were. But, you know, we're here now.
We're here to tell the tale. And hopefully people can, I guess, engage and relate to this in some way. I really hope that our stories will kind of resonate with people. We were talking about that, and after we listened to the podcast, at that point as well, we hadn't met each other's families either.
No, we had not.
No.
No.
And how's that been then?
That's been great. I mean, I wouldn't say it's been like bad or negative or anything. Like I met your like whole family for like the first time at a barbecue, which was, I would say, like probably like the best way to meet anyone's family
with food.
With food,
You brought jollof.
I did bring jollof. Yeah.
You wore your Ghana shirt.
I did.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was like trying to do there, like
prove that
I'm Ghanaian. Yeah. Like wearing a Ghana shirt and bringing jollof rice.
No, I kind of love that because it was like, this is who I am.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, show all of yourself.
Yeah. And I don't know, I think your family liked me just because I ate loads of food. Genuinely, like, I think that's the reason they liked me, because they were like, oh, no one wants to eat this. Manny, will you eat this? And I was like, yeah, okay.
And that's such a Chinese thing. Such our language, is our love language, is giving food to people. But also because you're a nice person and really easy to get on with. And my sister straight away was just like, I love him. He's just, love him. Straight away.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, my mum loves you as well.
Yeah.
She makes you, because you mentioned once that you eat yam and you like duck, that she always makes you like yam, like taro and duck.
Delicious.
Delicious. Or like little back go, she's left you before.
Yeah.
And
there's quite a lot of like, I don't know, maybe crossover of ingredients, I'd say, with like African food and Chinese food.
There is, isn't there?
Yeah.
Rice, yams.
Yeah.
What else?
Rice, yams.
And then how's, when I met your family as well, I think that...
Oh, that was a funny weekend.
It was a funny weekend.
Yeah.
Because...
So I picked you up from the station.
Yeah.
In my mum's Peugeot.
Yeah.
And I would say I'm not a bad driver. I'd say that car wasn't like great. It's the clutch on that car is just awful.
Don't blame a bad workman. Allow it.
But I was also like nervous because, of course, you were like me and my family.
Yeah.
And I stalled like three times on the way to like drop you off And I was just like, well, this is great, yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
I was so surprised because...
Usually I'm like very calm, cool, collected, stylish, handsome. But yeah,
it obviously meant a lot to both of us, and it was nice to see how much it meant to you, because I'm the first person you've ever brought home. Well, I'm your first girlfriend. So it was a lot of pressure, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I think they liked you.
Yeah.
Well, I think they do like you, so yeah.
And then your dad was talking about how it's a Ghanaian tradition to always offer guests a glass of water, shake hands with everyone. It was like, but I feel like he was kind of like mocking the process almost.
I think he was taking the mic.
Yeah.
Because you walked in and then he was like, I don't know, I feel like he shook your hand for ages as well or something. Or like he just held on to your hand for a while. But then, you went into the living room and then he got everyone to like sit down and then come to like formally introduce them to you. Oh, I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. He said, Akwaba, that's what we say in Twi, it means welcome.
Yeah.
Which I now try to adopt when I...
Yes, you do. Yeah.
That was nice. And then we just chilled, chatted, played games.
Yeah. I really can't remember what... Was there like an occasion that weekend or?
I don't think so. I think it was just coming down to visit.
Yeah.
And then, I think we've done that a few times now. We spent a lot of time together when your sister got married.
Yeah.
And that was really nice.
Great wedding.
Yeah. And I love your family so much.
Who's your favourite?
I don't have a favourite.
Yeah, you do.
The kids.
Who's your favourite?
The kids.
The kids?
Yeah.
What?
The kiddies. The kiddos. Your niece and nephew.
Oh.
Jeez. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry to the Onyema family for Manny forgetting his niece and nephew.
I didn't forget my niece and nephew. You said the kiddos. That could have been us.
No, you're not the child here. I'm the child
of Grace and Gideon.
I meant your niece and nephew.
Okay, yeah.
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 They're really cute, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Really enjoy meeting them. And I think we both were initially worried that either family would have resistance or feel a certain way about us dating outside of our communities.
Yeah.
And do you want to talk about being Christian as well? Because that's another kind of layer of this community. So not just Ghanaian, but also someone who's Christian.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know, there's like an expectation of you to like, date a Christian person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's not like a hard rule, like you must date someone Christian, but obviously it like they prefer it for like cultural reasons, I guess. I don't know, that's probably come up like a bit in our relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
But before I don't think it really like came up that much.
Well, we didn't talk about it until we had to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then we were like, this is actually quite important for us to talk about. Maybe we should figure out how Christianity kind of interweaves into our lives and how that would look for things like getting married, raising a family, and all these things.
Yeah.
It's actually really important, isn't it?
Yeah.
And up until, I think it was like probably... Yeah, after we met your parents,
we went
to church together, we talked about Christianity a lot. It's the first time that I've really been embedded in that type of environment.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't used to praying
or
being around, you know, dinner table and saying grace before eating. And, like, that's something that we never did growing up. My family aren't religious.
Yeah.
They're spiritual, I think, but not religious. So it was a bit of a culture shock for me, from that perspective, to then enter into a Christian family, go to church with them and everything. It's been really enlightening because now we regularly go to church together. We should go more. But I think we've talked about how I'm not a Christian.
Yeah.
And I want to be open to it, but I said to you like recently, I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to get there.
Yeah.
And then you were like, that's okay.
Yeah, like I've not, I don't know, it's not my place to like force you to be a Christian, and I, like, no one should force you to do that. It's like your decision.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as long as we've like talked about how it like impacts our lives, I think that's like the main thing.
Yeah. I think people might be interested to know how, what would we would do from like raising children and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like again, I'd say I'd want to like take them to church. Mm. And then be like, look, this is completely your decision. Like, I feel like it's benefited my life and the way I've grown up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, I can't force anyone to be a Christian. That's like their own decision that they have to make.
Yeah.
But I would like to give them the opportunity to make that decision.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, so you've gone to church for like this amount of time. You can do like whatever you want in your life, but this is how it's benefited me.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and I agree. Yeah. I think we should expose them to Christianity.
Yeah.
As well as, and I think obviously me being the mother figure.
Yeah.
And my views.
Yeah.
They're going to be, and kind of, I guess, mainstream views anyway. Most of our friends aren't religious.
Yeah.
My family aren't. They will, by proxy of being around people who are non-religious, be exposed to that anyway.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that we intentionally expose them to Christianity and kind of give them a choice.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also when it's we've talked about marriage and stuff, and
yeah,
whether we want to get married in a church.
Yeah.
I'd never imagine that.
You want to marry me?
Yeah, like we had to talk about that because I never envisioned myself actually getting married in a church.
I think we should get married in like Westminster Abbey.
Okay. Who's going to pay for that?
It can't be that expensive. We'll do it when the new king gets...
today.
Yeah, we'll do it today. Yeah. We'll go down, get an Uber down.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just hijack off all the flowers and stuff.
Well, no. This is why we make the savings, because they've already got the decorations up.
Exactly.
So they might as well keep it up for us.
Yeah, they might have some food already as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Won't be any good. It'll be like cheese sandwiches and...
Okay, no. Definitely not.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, I find it very exciting to talk about that, though.
About what?
Getting married.
Weddings. Okay,
yeah. Getting married at Westminster Abbey.
Yeah, yeah. We've had quite a few weddings already.
Yeah.
And then we've got, like, what, three more?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what's one thing that we have both said is integral to the part of the wedding? Right, let's say it on three, okay? You ready?
Okay.
You look confused.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Food. Yes. Fist bump. Like, there needs to be ample amount of food for everyone.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I don't know much about organising weddings, but the food is the only bit that, like, I want to make sure is, like, locked down.
Yeah. I think we need to have a buffet. Noodles and jollof.
Yeah.
That should be the theme of the wedding. The theme of the wedding is going to be noodles and jollof.
Okay. People have to come in wearing noodles or jollof.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw someone, a Chinese couple, who had cup noodles as their kind of like end of wedding night snack.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
I think that's a genius. Because they're also vegan, most of them. Well, actually, I think.
I don't know.
Well, they're veggie anyway.
Do you have any vegan friends?
Probably, yes. Okay. Yes, we definitely do.
I've got
vegan friends. I can think of so many.
Okay.
Tori.
Yeah.
Serena. Okay, anyway.
I can't think of one.
You can't think of Dommy. So anyway, yes. So, but noodles is a really good shout.
Yes. And yes, it is.
Yeah, I think we've been very excited talking about that and how that would be. I don't think we realise how expensive things are.
In my head, like, it will all just work out somehow. Like, money will appear. And then we will use that to fund our exotic lifestyle.
I hope so. That'll be good, won't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Christianity is one kind of thing in our relationship that we're having to navigate.
Yeah.
As well as the racism.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not a navigating. It's not a, the Christianity is not a bad thing to navigate. It's just like another difference that we have.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But ultimately, I think our foundation of who we are is similar, even though we execute it very differently.
Yeah. I don't what think, do you mean execute?
So I don't think we knew each other very well in the first episode. In the first... 3 months into us dating.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
We didn't know each other at all.
How do you mean?
As in, like,
well, I didn't know how
sense.
Your fart smelled.
we had a sense, obviously, of we were still ourselves.
Yeah.
But obviously, the more time you spend with someone, the deeper your connection is, the more you do really how each other reacts to situations. Okay. And I've always, obviously, we've always known you're a very cool, calm, collected person.
Handsome.
Huh?
Handsome.
And handsome, yeah. Yes. And I am less so, but then I am, what am I?
Beautiful.
Okay. Anything else?
I feel like you're leading me to want to say something.
Well, just give me qualities about myself that... Just say nice things about me.
I say nice things about you all the time.
No, okay. So my energy is different from yours, essentially.
I would agree with that,
I'm
yes.
more... Hey, don't do that thing. I get things done.
Yes, you do get things done. You're very proactive, I would say.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for finally saying something.
You're welcome.
Which is really interesting because we are very different people from that regards.
Yeah. I would say I have become more proactive through knowing you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, we're going to Malaysia very soon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, if I was going on my own,
yeah,
I don't think I would have had my flights booked.
What?
Like, no, obviously I'd have them booked now. Yeah. But, like, we had them booked from, like, last year. And that definitely wouldn't have happened.
Right, yeah.
I'd probably be going to, like, maybe 2 places maximum. And it would be, like, the chillest holiday ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd probably not do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that TikTok that I showed you where there's 2 types of people in this world?
Oh, yeah.
There's the maximizer.
Yeah.
And then there's the, what was the other one called? The satisfizer. Yeah, maximizer and satisfizer. So the maximizer is someone who is wanting to get the most out of every opportunity. So they want to look for the best food, the best places to stay, where to go, like on holiday as an example.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the satisfizer is the person who is just, they're happy to be there and just feel the vibe of the city. They don't necessarily have to do that much to enjoy that place. And we are like that when we travel, as in I'm the maximizer of, and you're the satisfizer.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah. Don't laugh. I say we make, I think genuinely that makes quite a good combo because if we were doing stuff like the whole time, and I think this happened last weekend, where you just get too tired afterwards, and you can't do anything.
Yeah.
And I think if we spent the whole holiday like doing stuff, you'd come back and you'd need like another holiday to like rest and catch up with all the stuff that you've done.
So, yeah. Last weekend was my fault. I took us on a hike without knowing it was going to be a hike. I thought it was going to be like a nice leisurely 30-minute walk around Hebden Bridge. But it turned into like, oh, we're in the forest and we need to walk an hour to get back.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like uphill.
At the time, it was like, I don't know. It was fun.
Yeah.
But when I got back, I was like, I'm knackered.
And then we had to run for the train. Because that was, again, I didn't want to miss the train because I get very anxious about missing trains.
Yeah.
Whereas you're like, not bothered. You'll happily wait an hour or something for the next one.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't. Why would you wait? I'm wasting time. A whole hour.
You could do anything within that hour. You could go to the shop and like get some food or something. It's not like I'm just like sitting there like on the at the station with a smile on my face. Like watching the like fucking pigeon eat a piece of bread or something.
But I guess it's like for me, I'm like we could have made it, but we didn't, and we literally just made the train by like with a minute to spare.
Don't get me wrong, it was good that we made that train.
Yeah.
Like We would have got back eventually.
I know.
We would have eaten eventually.
I know. Yeah. It's just, yeah, that's something that I need to work through is my travel anxiety. I get that quite a lot.
I don't know. We made that train, so.
Yeah, that's true. And we brought back some wild garlic.
We did, yeah.
Yeah. Like a very like feeble amount that doesn't really, probably doesn't equate to very much when you're cooking.
I hope they ate it.
Yeah, we gave it to our neighbours. What else do we want to talk about today?
I don't know.
You don't know? Questions. There's questions on Instagram that we need to talk about. Okay, right. You ready?
Yes.
I'm not ready, actually. Wait one sec.
Okay. Let me ask you a question in the interim then.
Okay.
So we've just recently moved in together.
Yeah.
How has that been?
Moving in together.
Yeah.
I've actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Keep
showering praise, please.
Yes, we have. I was very anxious about us moving in together.
Yeah.
Because this is my place.
Yes.
My one bedroom, tiny flat.
Yes.
And I was worried that your messiness or just, you know, you leave things around would really stress me out. But then the kind of the benefit of having you here is that there's another person to do all the chores.
Yes.
Not all the chores. Obviously, we split it as much as we can, don't we? But you now take the... Hey!
What?
You now take the bins out.
Yeah.
You do the laundry a lot. Like, you cook as well. It's like, I forgot that there's going to be a benefit. And obviously, a cost-saving benefit too.
Yeah, yeah.
And also the fact that we just get to see each other a lot more.
Yeah.
I think it's really nice.
I think you thought I was going to be messier than I am. And I don't know. I feel like I adapt to my environment. If I move, if I'm like in a clean environment, then I think I will be cleaner.
Yeah.
But in a like not as nice or a messier environment, then what's the point in being cleaner than like the messy standard? If you get me.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess I can only go off the evidence I had, which was your previous flat, where you lived, and I did not like living, like staying over.
But like, I'm okay. If you can, if the flat is a C,
yeah,
like what's the point in trying to get an A when like you're already at like the base level C? If you get me.
But you might as well. But you could have done better, though. I'm sorry. You could.
What do you mean?
It could have been cleaner.
It could have been cleaner, but what's the point in getting an A when you like the max you can get is a C?
That's like GCSE math when you only like you know when you only get the paper the foundation. That goes up to I had that in maths.
Yeah.
I could only get a maximum of a B.
Yeah, but you're so good at maths now.
That was a joke, by the way, because I'm not good at maths for anyone who doesn't know.
I don't know, recently I'd say you've been doing some good like
mental maths,
yeah.
Thank you. That fucking dog, if that fucking dog doesn't shut up.
It worked.
God, sorry.
That's okay.
All right, okay, we're going to ask each other some questions.
Yes.
Could you talk about, actually, this is a good topic, how your union impacts the holiday destinations plans you choose? This is from Gio Ellen James.
Hi, Gio Ellen James. yeah, I'd say it probably impacts where we choose to go. There's a lot of thinking about, like, what is the... I don't know what the word is. Like, I'm just going to use vibe, even though I know that's not the word I'm looking for.
Like, their politics, perhaps.
Politics, like, reputation. What's, like, the reputation of the city?
Yeah.
Like, is it one of, like, racism, basically?
Mm.
Is there a lot of prejudice in that area?
Mm.
Are they open to, like... more communities or like even like people from the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
I'd say that impacts where we choose to go on holiday.
Yeah.
And then when we get there, I think we like immediately on the first day, I will just like start counting the black people.
Yeah.
Which is probably like not the best thing to do, but it's just like, in my head, if I see more, or like if I can't count past like five or like six on the first day, then I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
But if I'm like struggling to count, then it's like just something that's always like in my head.
I don't think it's weird because it's, you're essentially trying to notice people who reflect you, and whether that's a potentially inclusive or safe space, or people like you would usually hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the vibe if like I'm like the odd one out here.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Or if
like
there's other people.
Mm.
Around.
Yeah. Are you thinking about when we went to that really Balonfjord in Hungary, and it was like it basically a tourist place for Hungarians to go.
Yeah.
Where they like people tourists don't usually go there. So we were the only British people that we'd seen for ages. We were there for a few days.
Yeah.
And then to that, I think we saw one black woman.
Yeah.
And I saw one kind of EC woman. Oh, walking around, and then one Thai woman in the pub. We knew she was Thai because they cooked Thai food there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we waved at each other, and it was really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, that was it. And we did feel... It was, like, not unsafe. We didn't feel unsafe at all. And people were fine, actually. They just minded their own business. But people were defo looking, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of eyes, like, on us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And even in Budapest as well, in the city.
I don't know. The thing about... Like that one, and I think I said it in our ED&I call at work. I was just like, you know, like how in like little towns or like small neighborhoods or like countryside or something where everyone knows each other's business.
Mm.
I was like, that's how it felt there because like if we did something, say if like I broke a glass or like... I got drunk one like really drunk one night or something.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be hard for people to make the leap as to be like, oh, that's that couple over there. Because like I'm the only like black person there. So
yeah.
I was like, if we do anything here, they like everyone will know our business.
Mm-hmm.
If you get me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't like they're gonna be like racist towards us or like they're staring at us kind of thing. It was like
it's just
they'll just know.
Yeah.
They know we're there.
They can identify us. Because I think we both forget how we present to the outside world as black and Chinese together.
Yeah.
Like, firstly, it's not uncommon, but we talked about this last time.
Yeah.
You just don't see that many black and Chinese couples together. And then, so we're both minoritized anyway. Yeah. Then you go into a space like in Hungary or somewhere in a remote countryside resort thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, I think we forget how we look to other people because people obviously are innately curious. They want to be like, oh, where, I wonder where they're from. And they can't place us.
Yeah.
They're literally like, are they from Africa or Asia?
Or both.
Or both. Or neither.
We did see a black and Asian couple when we went for our anniversary dinner that just looked way better than us.
Oh yeah, we did, didn't we?
We were like almost wearing the same thing. Like me and the guy.
He was wearing this hoodie. It was an orange coloured hoodie, like the one you're wearing now.
But he wore it like way better than me.
Yeah.
Like he just looked cooler.
Yeah.
Looked more suave.
Yeah, and she was like way prettier.
No, she wasn't.
And she had better style.
No, didn't lie.
They didn't notice us, but we were like,
yeah. I was so annoying because we were just leaving as they got there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's actually quite funny. And then we actually saw one in that pasta factory place as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they were like...
On a date.
Early on dating.
Mm, whereas we were just pigging out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Being weird and talking about other couples when they just don't give a shit about us. Like, I don't think they had the same conversation that we did.
I hope they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we walked into that Thai restaurant and there was a black and Asian family? And they had kids and it was us looking. They noticed us straight away.
Yeah.
And then we looked at them and it was almost like us looking into the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Also, there's a really funny story. Our friend Kai.
Yeah.
Hello, Kai, if you're listening.
Hi. Hi, honey. Are you eating?
So, we bumped into her at Mackie Mayo, which is a restaurant in Manchester, like an industrial, loads of food, little places in Manchester.
Yeah.
And we were about to walk in with her and we're like, hi Kai, how are you? And then she was meeting her friend there, and then she texts me afterwards saying, her friend said, it's like you were walking in with your parents, because her mom is Japanese, I think, and her dad is black.
Yeah.
And she's American. And she said it was like walking in with her parents. And now we have this like in joke that we are her parents all the time. Yeah. So I work with her as well, so I manage Kai and her social media and stuff.
Yeah, and we're just so proud of her, you know.
We're very proud of her. Yeah. So Manny makes it known that he's very proud of her. You say it a lot, which is very nice.
Well, we are. And you know, she's going places.
She really is going places. Yeah, she just played at Eurovision.
Yeah, support.
Yes. Okay, yeah, right, next question. What are the top five inner biases you've both had to face up and challenge?
Oh my
That's
gosh.
That's from Connie SK too.
Inner biases? What, so like my bias?
Towards Chinese people and my bias towards black people. I guess. What are the top five inner biases?
I assume that's what it means, I'm struggling to think at the moment. Have you got any?
I think we talked about this and how we both... I can't think of specific examples now.
Yeah.
But we both said things that have been a bit like, ouch.
Yeah.
That's you showing your racism in some way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think we talked about it yesterday. We had a bit of a chat yesterday about when you... talk about white people or like you make it, I mentioned something that's white and then you go, that's racist or something, and it's obviously completely a joke. And then like I said to you, like, I sometimes think that you forget that I'm Chinese and not white. And like we had that conversation, and it's like a really like complex and difficult conversation to have, and I was a bit upset.
Because
I think my insecurity is that you don't see me as Chinese. Like, that's always been a kind of a, not a running joke, but we've talked about it quite a lot. I said it once when we were drunk, when I was like, do you see me as a Chinese woman?
Yes.
And like, that's something that we've had to navigate, because Chinese people are always kind of invisible and others. And
And I think like when we were talking about it, it was like about like, obviously, like my experience of racism being black and not knowing about the, or like just not having the experience of the racism that EC people face. So it's not something I can like relate to as well.
Yeah.
Like, as I do my own experience, if you get me. Yeah, of course.
And that's completely understandable.
Yeah.
I think it's, the longer we've been together, the longer these biases have come out, and then we've had to address them. And it's like really hard, because you're talking to someone that you love, and you want to be like, by the way, this hurt me. And you said it to me as well. And like, we've both had to like apologize and say sorry, and that's going to happen, because ultimately we're both come from different experiences. Obviously, you being a man as well and me being a woman, all that kind of mixes together, and it's
just,
and like, sometimes it's sexism, sometimes it's my own internalized racism, sometimes, you know, there's things that have come out, and it's
I'd say that's probably one of the things that like I've noticed, like, not, I don't know, noticed, but like my own biases is like me being a man, like obviously, like sexism and stuff like that. It's, there's probably things I've said and like thought and stuff like that which is not right, and I've like learnt that from like you people at work and like books that I've read and like that one like day, like gender,
Invisible Women.
No, the gender data gap one.
Oh.
And I mean, that's where I learned about what's it called, unpaid labor initially.
Yeah, Invisible Women. The book that have.
Is that called Invisible Women?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah. That shows you how much I've read it. But yeah, that, like, it was something I learned from the book. And then, like, I spoke to you about it, and I was like, oh, like, there's all these things that you do that, like, I just don't...
Mate,
don't,
I can't believe you're saying you learned that from a book when I've told you about that so many times.
No, but, like, not before I read it.
No, seriously, I have.
Really?
Unpaid... Oh my gosh, I'm actually fuming right now.
Okay.
Because like unpaid labour, I've talked about that so much. I was so worried about us living together and then like me having to, I've talked about like, you know, the mental labour of me picking up on things like remembering birthdays and birthday cards and...
I think you mentioned it before, yeah.
Yes.
But I don't think we went into like the detail of like... No, but not like, I think we talked about like that kind of stuff, but not like... Not everything, if you get what I mean.
Like from a societal perspective.
Like, yeah, well, society and like just things that you do. Like, right. For example, uh-huh. all of the Malaysia planning.
Uh-huh.
I'd say I've had more input into that now than I would have if we were planning it like last year, say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. And I think the main thing is that we're both open to being called out on stuff.
Yeah.
And just kind of... checking each other.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously done with love and it's done in a really healthy, safe way. Like, I don't think we've ever raised our voices or screamed at each other. You know, we've always been angry and mad and, you know, sad or angry, mad, sad and glad and, you know, all the all
keep,
the words.
Keep rhyming.
Sometimes I feel bad.
And that makes me sad.
Yeah. But ultimately, we're glad to have those conversations.
Oh my God.
Aren't we? Okay, next question. I love this from Tori Choi. My friend, hello. Who's learned more of the language, Viv with Chui or Manny with Cantonese?
I would say, and I'm going to explain my answer, I would say I've learned more Cantonese, but only because. I don't remember enough Chui to like teach you.
You have learned a lot of Cantonese.
Yeah.
It's been do you wanna flex any today? Do you wanna do the gog or?
No, I don't want to do that. Because I won't get it right. I always mess up on like the last or like the penultimate
go on,
one.
Just do it. You're under pressure, just do it. Just do it.
Go 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 go. Go, 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 go.
Yes! Okay. Well done! It wasn't perfect, but you got everything in there and people would understand what you're saying.
Mgoy.
Well done. Mgoy, I'm saying. Yeah, whereas with Chui, I think I have limited...
I think when you've been like around my family, you've probably like learnt more or they teach you more.
Yeah.
But because I only really remember... Like I said before, I only really remember the stuff that like was shouted at me as a child.
From
me,
ho.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah, what does it tell the listeners what that means?
It's like, leave me alone.
From me, ho.
From me, ho.
I like that one. From me, ho.
Yeah.
Mekoni.
I'm going to pee. Yeah, that's a good one.
Me darsi.
Yeah, thank you.
Me pa chow.
Yeah.
That means please.
Yeah.
Which is, for Cantonese speakers, when you say me pa chow, doesn't it sound like you're saying I'm shy? Pa tao is shy. So that's how I remember it, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, please, I'm shy.
Okay. Fadi.
Fadi means quicker in Cantonese. So yeah, I like how we're integrating it into kind of our everyday conversations and stuff. And
we probably need to learn more, both of us, but yeah.
I had a call yesterday with someone who was Ghanaian, and she doesn't know that I'm dating Manny. She didn't know that Manny was Ghanaian, I mean. And then I just went Akwaba, and she was like, oh my God!
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I kind of love that reaction. It's quite funny.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to other inter-ethnic couples who are just starting out? And that's from Amy Picks, _Amy_Picks.
I would say communication. And I feel like people say that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you hear like old couples say that, and then I feel like younger couples are like, oh yeah, sure, like I know how to communicate, but they don't really understand like what they mean by it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's like, if you have a problem or like if you feel like a certain way about something that you or your partner has done, then you've got to like talk about it.
Yeah,
you've got to like communicate your like feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it will just like build up or you'll be thinking about it on your own and like thinking like you're going through it on your own.
Yeah
And your partner might not even know.
Yeah
and I'd say when things have happened, Like, there has been some times where we've not talked about it and it's probably, like, come out later.
Mm-hmm.
But when we have talked about it, it's not like the other person has, like, reacted, like, angrily.
Mm.
We've just, like, talked it through.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. And I think to add to that, also do the work ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think we're both obviously invested in doing that because of our experiences and who we are. Well, actually, not necessarily. Like, neither of us have to be engaged in, like, anti-racism work. You know, we don't have to be.
Yeah.
We don't have to do the work. But then I think we are both really curious about it. So we listen to podcasts sometimes together. Yeah. Or we just share what we've learned from, like, your ED&I talks at work and, you know, stuff that we've read. And I think you need to learn each other's experiences that way.
Yeah, and I think it's just, each other's experience, and then there's obviously, like, other people's experience.
Yeah.
Like, neurodiverse people, people in the LGBTQ+, IA+
mm-hmm.
community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of all the networks that we've got to work.
Yeah, I mean, just as many range of voices as possible. I think that's, you just want to be curious and learn about people's experiences outside your own, ultimately.
Yeah.
I don't really have advice because we're still only 2 years in, still really new, and, like,
I would say we're the perfect couple, though. Like,
so silly.
Yeah.
What fears about being in an inter-ethnic relationship turn out to be unfounded? I've got one.
Go ahead.
I think it's that I thought our families would really not be accepting of either of us together.
Yeah.
And actually, that's been really unfounded. I just had so much fear because of... Well, it's not unfounded because, you know, previously I mentioned before, my family have said really anti-black things.
Yeah.
And have expressed previously... before we had a conversation about it with my family, like, why do you feel this way? And they really had to work on that themselves. And I thought that it was going to be a massive hurdle.
Yeah.
But it's actually not been at all.
No. I'd probably say that one's the biggest one. I can't really think of, like, any other, like, I don't know, misconceptions or...
Mm. Yeah, I guess we also operate from a place of, like, a lot of joy and laughter in our relationship. Like, we don't...
I don't know. Maybe it's not answering the question, but, like, there's a lot of benefits.
Yeah, that's so true. Of
learning each other's culture.
Yeah.
The food.
The food.
Genuinely, the food.
Yeah.
The food.
Okay, what's your favourite Chinese or Asian food? It doesn't have to be Chinese.
Or
food that you've been exposed to since you've started dating me.
I think you know the answer to this, and I think many people know the answer to this. It's low back goal.
Low back goal?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say dim sum, but specifically low back goal.
I mean, I love dim sum, but I would order
low
back goal
whenever
I go to dim sum.
Yeah, you love that, don't you?
Yeah.
XL low back goal, that's turnip cake that you can order at dim sum for anyone who doesn't know.
Like, I feel like I ate turnip before.
Mm.
Or did I? Maybe, like, once or twice,
but
that really changed my reality.
Change your reality.
Yeah.
Mine are your mum's fried yam balls.
Ah, yeah.
That those helped good. Make in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
used Paxo stuffing as the outer breadcrumb thing.
Yeah.
And anything that your mum deep fries, I'm just like, yes, please.
That was quite funny. Because, I don't know. Maybe it's not like a misconception, but it's like a culture kind of clash thing. But,
yeah.
Like, when you were around at my
yeah.
family's house, like, you were helping my mum and my sister cook.
Mm-mm.
And then, like, me, my dad and little brother were, like, watching the football on TV.
Yeah.
And I was just like...
Yeah. What the
heck? Yeah. And then you walk past and you're like, oh, Manny, come help. And I was like... Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I do enjoy it, though, because it's, like, the place to chat.
Like, you wouldn't have, like, if my mum was like,
yeah.
oh, Viv, can you help me cook?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been like, no, because of the patriarchy.
Yeah, I'm a feminist,
yeah. But it was just like, we were all like sitting down watching TV when we could have helped as well.
Yeah. I guess you do. You guys are not that bad compared to a lot of men, I know.
Yeah.
But still do better. What was I going to say? And also the first time I tried fufu as well.
Oh, yeah.
We were at your auntie's barbecue for Lois's birthday.
Yeah.
And then you weren't there actually in the kitchen.
I was not there, no.
But basically your family and their friends, they were all staring at me waiting for my reaction. Because I was trying to do that bloody thing where you don't swallow fufu. You don't chew fufu.
Did you chew it?
I kind of just like let it melt in my mouth and I kind of try to swallow it. But then I've seen on TikTok people who eat fufu saying, no, you can just chew it if you want to.
Yeah, but I don't know how to like explain this. It just got me angry a little bit.
I'm sorry.
But it's like, I don't know. You just don't.
Yeah, but if it's I don't not, know how to explain like
how you like eat it. But I don't know. You just swallow it.
It's not like anything that I've ever, like texture wise, it's similar to mashed potato. Yeah. So I've never had to swallow a solid. It's a solid. You're asking me to swallow a solid.
Wait, do you chew mashed potatoes?
Well, yeah. I don't just go gulp in one.
Well, I don't know what I do now.
Do you like mash it around in your mouth a little bit?
I'm not sure. I think we're going to need to make some mashed potato and test this out.
I think so. You don't just swallow it.
It's confused me now.
It's confused me.
I don't think I like mash it around in my mouth. It's already mashed.
Yeah, but what do you do? You just got it. You just put it in your mouth and you just go gulp. Manny is pretending to eat mashed potato.
Don't know what I do now.
And he's closing his. Okay, yeah. Okay, so basically we've really enjoyed eating food from each person's culture.
Yes.
Okay, question from San San Yao, my sister, my twin.
Hi.
Who would survive in a zombie apocalypse and how? I hate this question. I inherently hate this question because I always know I don't come out very well in these things. No one has ever once picked me as the person who would survive in a zombie apocalypse every time this game is played. So I feel really triggered by this question because I know that it's going to be about denigrating me and being like, this is useless. All she can do is make jokes and fucking, I don't know.
I've not even started to answer the question. I think we do well together.
Yeah.
Because of the... What is it? The proactive...
Maximize and satisfy thing. Yeah.
I don't know. I think we'd make it work. I think our tactics would be very different, though.
Mm.
Like, in the Hunger Games, say.
Mm.
I think you'd be... What are those? Not the evil... Like, not that you'd be evil. But you'd be, like, one of the, like, evil ones, like, going around, like... actively trying to kill people.
Yeah, the thing is I cheat in games.
Yeah.
So I would do anything to cheat.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like that weird girl who was like leaving like little poison berries and like hiding in trees and stuff.
Yeah, you wouldn't actively try to kill people.
I'd just be like saving my energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd be like, I'd sleep like a little bit.
Yeah. What sleep when you're about to get killed? Zombies are attacking you and you just be like, I'm just going to go for a nap.
Yeah, but okay, which type of zombies are we talking about here?
They're the feral ones. The ones like that the fast will run ones. At you. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, yeah, that's so interesting that you went straight to like the lazy zombie that's a bit docile.
That's the one I'd hope for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If it was a fast one, I think my tactic would be to like attack initially. Basically get to a place of safety where I've got like a tactical advantage and then I'd just like pick them off from there and then stay in my little like my little safety zone, gather food and water.
Food like it's so easy.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Gather food.
Yeah. Then I'd build like a little society for myself where like some like strays come in and I'm like, oh, don't worry, come into my fort, I'll look after you.
Right.
And then I eventually rise to become their leader.
Yeah.
And through manipulation and spreading of fake news, they become like sort of like loyal to me and my agenda and right. my cause.
Mm.
And then I've got a group of radicalized followers who will just do my bidding for me.
So a cult then, basically.
Not in those words, but yes.
Right, okay. See, I'm not going to even answer this question because it triggers me so much.
Yes.
I can't be bothered thinking about it because it's not going to happen, so I don't care.
But do you think you'd survive longer than
no.
I would?
No.
Okay.
who's the loudest snorer?
Well, you don't snore, so...
He's being sarcastic, everyone.
I've never heard you snoring before.
Okay. Manny always says this when I ask him, did I snore last night? And you always go, no. And you look really, like, sheepish.
Because you didn't snore last night.
Yes, morning. Fine. I snore. But you do too. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I don't snore. That's why I said I'm the loudest snorer. Because by default, if you don't snore, then...
Okay, we both snore. And we're both loud. Maybe I'm louder. I don't know. I'm asleep.
How loud am I?
I don't know. Sometimes quite. I had to last night I had to really? Put my finger underneath your nose to stop you breathing for a bit because it was so loud.
Is it like the way I sleep is like...
Yeah,
is it like
when you're kind of like head up, like you're lying on your back.
Oh, okay.
And you're kind of like, you know, like the double chin. Kind
yeah.
Of, yeah, mode.
I've got a double chin.
No, you don't.
Okay.
I do. You don't. Kookadoodles has asked, how has Manny's Instagram boyfriend photography skills improved?
I would say they have improved significantly.
Yes.
And I also feel underappreciated for some of my artistic vision.
Oh, yeah. You're thinking about that photo.
I'm thinking about that photo. Yeah.
We had the quilt around my head, the green quilt. Well, yeah, thank you so much.
Yes.
You have helped a lot. I think you care more now. I think you used to be quite flippant with it, whereas now you see how much it means to me. And so you put in more time into actually making it happen for me. And like, we spend a lot of time taking Instagram photos for me when we go out sometimes, don't we?
I think I just realised it's like a necessary evil.
Yes.
And I've just got to...
Yeah.
I've just got to get better, you know?
You do.
Sometimes you just got to put the work in. Is there any like tips and advice I'd give to someone who is I would say work the angles, like shoot from below, shoot from above, try different camera settings. Portrait mode is a very good one.
Yeah, sometimes I show you how I want that photo to be taken first, don't I? So you stand there and then I take a photo and then you use that as a reference.
Yeah, or I take like one photo and I'm like, okay, what do I need to do here?
Yeah. Okay, this is quite a big question.
Okay.
From Connie SK2 again. How have you learned to navigate unchecked casual racism from family and friends?
Oh.
I don't think we have.
No.
I think we have. We sometimes have to weigh up whether it's worth it or not because... You know, these are people that are in our lives for the long run. And you gave obviously a great example at the beginning of the recording where we were talking about that friend who we don't really see that often, like a periphery friend.
Yeah.
But then I think in terms of closer people, sometimes we just don't. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And it's tricky.
It's very situational, I would say. Mm. And like you said, I don't think we've perfected it.
No. 100% not. I'm still really scared to talk about it with people.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's just hard.
It is hard because there's going to be a ripple effect when...
Yeah.
If you do mention someone's racism, never mind your family and friends, anyone's like... Just casual racism, I think we've noticed it. Someone made a joke at your expense at karaoke once. And we haven't addressed it with that person, but we've just kind of distanced ourselves, which I don't think really helps either, because we're not making it known to them that we feel that way. We're just kind of been like, all right, not going to see you that much.
Yeah, and I think like before I'd be like, I don't know, making a joke about it, or like if someone said it, I'd just like use that as an opportunity to like turn it around on them and like start taking the piss out of them for like their like dumb thing that they said.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Humiliate them.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I think we haven't learned.
Yeah.
We are learning as we go. And yes. We don't really have any tips to deal with that because it's not easy to do, really.
I'm all about growth.
And we also, we want to just have an easy life sometimes.
Yeah.
We want to preserve our energy for what's important. And, that is important, obviously.
Yeah.
But also, because we have experienced it quite often, little and often, in a way, it's kind of like, sometimes, what's the point?
Yeah.
What is the point? We'll talk about it, but we're not going to necessarily go out of our way to fucking educate every single person that says something. It's so much sometimes.
I mean, I don't know if we've given the best advice for this answer, but we don't know.
That's what our experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that might fluctuate and change. There might be times when we do decide to address it with people. And it depends on how much investment you have in that person. Some of them are very low investment and I'm like, I just won't see you.
Yeah.
And some of them, I'm just like, you are high investment, but you're in our life for a long time.
Yeah.
And we'll address it hopefully when the time is ready, or hopefully other people around us will do that work.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's tricky, isn't it? I don't know. Minim.
Nice.
That's, I don't know, in Twi. they're the end of the questions. Oh, who likes getting jump scared the most? What?
You hate it.
I don't like being scared, full stop.
Wait. A knock on the door so that you know it's me.
Yeah.
And then, when was it? I think it was last week. Yeah. I snuck into the room.
Yeah.
And I said to you, I'm about to scare you. And even in saying that, you got scared.
But you still snuck in. And then said, I didn't know you were behind me.
My footsteps weren't quiet.
They were quite quiet. Really? And I was cooking, so I couldn't hear.
So basically, I announce myself before I enter rooms.
You don't have to all the time. Was there anything else that we wanted to talk about before we rounded it off? It's been really nice, hasn't it?
Thank you.
Is there anything else that we've missed? Oh, someone asked what's weird things that we do, that's weird shit that we do that's adorable.
Yeah.
And the weird, you always sing that song when there's blank space in your head, you sing, please don't cry, just know that I have made this song for you. You always sing that, that's always in your head.
It's a good song.
It's a good song, but it's I only know that from you singing it. I don't know how the song sounds otherwise.
Yeah.
And that's your
It default. Doesn't sound that much better. I think I sing it better than Kid Cudi, so.
And then another thing that you do, this is kind of more of an ick.
What?
It's not an ick, I'm only joking. It's when we're watching TV, this is my major gripe, and we're eating dinner, and you will look down at your food, but you always miss important things that's happened on TV. And it's really, and we then had to either rewind it or I have to tell you what they said or what happened. Just look at the TV.
I miss maybe 1%.
Yeah, but it's enough that I'm did you see that? Did you see that? And I have to make sure you've seen it because...
How am I supposed to eat my food?
Don't look at it!
I don't understand.
Just bring it to your mouth!
Oh.
Is there anything else?
I don't know.
Well, let's end it here then because we need to go to watch that film, don't we? We haven't eaten properly yet.
Yeah, true.
I've really enjoyed this discussion. How have you found it?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it too. I'll see you in another 2 years for the next one.
Are we going to do it again every 2 years?
I don't know.
Yeah. You can be a regular. I've been wanting you to come back onto the podcast as a regular.
No, it's just not my vibe.
It's not your vibe?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry, listeners.
People do really like listening to you, I think.
I think it's because they think my voice is soothing. Soothing. I don't know, that felt weird.
Okay, we'll wrap it up here and then we've got to get going.
Yeah.
This was But Where Are You From? A podcast by Be Seen.
Hosted by Manny.
Hosted by Manny. Please donate if you enjoyed this episode because every little helps. Sorry, I was about to burp then.
Do it.
It's a sausage burp. We really enjoyed this and we would really like to hear from people who have had similar experiences. So please drop us a message at It's Vivielle, probably. Manny's Instagram is private and you don't post or anything, do you? So the best way.
Yeah, but it's going to blow up soon.
It's going to blow up, apparently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, please do just continue the conversation. We would love, love, love to hear your thoughts. I really like it when we receive messages about podcast episodes. And yep. I hope it's been somewhat insightful. I don't know. You know, just hearing our experiences, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right, let's go then. Oh, shit, we've not pressed record. Joking. Bye. Ha ha ha!